This is Jay Sekulow. Adam Schiff's lie about whistleblower contact exposed.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, if you think we had fun yesterday, just buckle up your seatbelts for today. I'll put it that way. There's a lot to talk about. So, Adam Schiff made a public statement that he had no previous contact or a staff with the whistleblower in this case, right? No previous contact. He was emphatic about that. I'm going to give you some timeline information here. Remember, the key date is that the whistleblower report was filed on August 12th. New York Times has a report out yesterday. This is really important to understand. New York Times had a piece out yesterday saying that the whistleblower complaint was filed, of course, we know, August 12th, but that Adam Schiff, the Democratic head of the House Intelligence Committee, listen to this now, Representative Schiff learned about the outlines of a CIA officer's concerns regarding President Trump days before the officer filed a whistleblower complaint. Now, I'm going to play for you right now exactly what Adam Schiff said. This was on September 17th. So nothing's been public yet. We haven't seen the report yet. It's nothing been released. Listen to what Adam Schiff says on national TV.
Have you heard from the whistleblower? Do you want to hear from the whistleblower? What protections could you provide to the whistleblower? And then you also said that the DNI is refusing to turn over this stuff, citing a request from a higher authority. The insinuation left, at least for me and others, was that the president himself had intervened. Is that the insinuation you sought to provide? And if so, what basis do you have for making that insinuation?
We have not spoken directly with the whistleblower. We would like to, but I'm sure the whistleblower has concerns that he has not been advised as the law requires.
We'll get to the concerns in a moment. And I want you to break this soundbite down into sentences that we can replay. We have not directly spoken. We've not spoken directly with the whistleblower. We would like to. And then the whistleblower, you know, has concerns is what he thinks. Completely false. A completely false statement from Adam Schiff. He is the chairman of the Intel Committee. He is the one calling for an impeachment of the president based on this Ukraine conversation. And he said he had no conversations with the whistleblower. That was September 17th. His team had already spoken to that whistleblower over a month before. Now, if that's not bad enough, which it clearly is, let me play another one for you. This is Nancy Pelosi being interviewed by Adam Schiff. George Stephanopoulos. What's the issue? The issue was that fake transcript that he read, that when he concocted. Listen to what goes on here.
I know you support Chairman Schiff, but was it right for him to have that dramatic interpretation of the president's transcript of the phone call at the hearing last week?
I want the American people to know what that phone call was about. I want them to hear it. So, yeah, it's fair. It's sad. But it's using the president's own words. So if he's...
Those weren't the president's words. It was an interpretation of the president's words. They're saying he made this up.
He did not make it up.
He did make it up. She must not have listened to it. Adam Schiff has later told people he regrets having... Regrets? You are trying to call for an impeachment of the president of the United States based on a 30-minute conversation with the president of Ukraine? And you right now have committed two false statements? I mean, I want you to think about what this actually means in a constitutional republic. Two false statements from the chairman of the committee who's protecting the whistleblower. So that what are they going to do? Do articles of impeachment against the president about the Ukraine call from a witness we can't interview? Oh, can't interview witnesses. You mean like what's happening right now in the United States House of Representatives? When the Ambassador Volker is being questioned by the majority, but no questions allowed by the minority. How does that one make you feel? We'll take your calls on all this. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. If you are on Facebook or Periscope or Twitter or any of our other social media platforms watching this broadcast right now, here's what we'd like you to do. Share it right now with everybody. We've got a lot more ahead to talk about here. Share it with your friends right this moment. I've got some news during the break.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Again, if you're on Facebook and Periscope, we encourage you to share this with your friends. All right, I'm going to lay out the timeline here. I think this is important. The New York Times reports that days before the officer filed a whistleblower complaint, the Democratic head of the House Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, learned about the outlines of the CIA officer's concerns. So that was days before. The report is filed on April 12th. On August 28th, Adam Schiff tweets out on his Twitter feed the following. Trump is withholding vital military aid to Ukraine while his personal lawyer seeks help from the Ukraine government to investigate its political opponent. It does not take a stable genius to see the magnitude of this conflict or how destructive it is to our national security. What's interesting about that, of course, is he now knows about all this. He's putting it out in tweets. But yet, 1 month later, well, 3 weeks later, September 17th, he is asked a question directly. Did you or your staff talk with or meet with the whistleblower? It could not be any clearer. Now, let me play for you again that statement, and then we'll play his entire response.
Have you heard from the whistleblower? Do you want to hear from the whistleblower? What protections could you provide to the whistleblower? And then you also said that the DNI is refusing to turn over this stuff, citing a request from a higher authority. The insinuation left, at least for me and others, was that the president himself had intervened. Is that the insinuation you sought to provide? And if so, what basis do you have for making that insinuation?
We have not spoken directly with the whistleblower. We would like to, but I'm sure the whistleblower has concerns that he has not been advised, as the law requires, by the Inspector General or the Director of National Intelligence, just as to how he is to communicate with Congress.
So here's what you got. I want to be very clear on this. He says, we have not spoken directly with the whistleblower, Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs, worked on Capitol Hill, worked for a congressman. Totally false statement.
Totally false, Jay. I've engaged in these types of conversations on behalf of a member of Congress. When someone comes to you with information for the member, you take that information on behalf of the member, you share it with the member, which, by the way, Jay, all of the reporting says that that happened. It says in the New York Times article that the aide shared some of what the officer conveyed directly to Mr. Schiff. And, Jay, the response, the advice, the counsel that is given back to that person, that is also delivered on behalf of the member, or in this case, on behalf of the committee. The chairman, Jay, quite frankly, he was trying to have it both ways. He was trying to get the information and yet somehow keep this veil of isolation that he'd had no contact. It just simply was not true.
Harry, you, give me your read on this. The fact of the matter is that this is I want you to understand the serious nature of what this is. This is the head of the committee that's supposed to be doing this impeachment inquiry. What's your reaction?
Essentially, my reaction is as follows. Adam Schiff's shiftiness and duplicity has caught up with him once again. Adam Schiff, on September the 17th, 2019, claimed that we have not spoken directly with the whistleblower. This is clearly and unmistakably untrue. On August the 28th, Adam Schiff issued a tweet which lays out essentially the whistleblower's claims in his complaint. So
before it was public. Nobody had seen it yet.
It was public. So that suggests that not only did he have advanced knowledge, that it's very possible that he read the complaint. Third, former CIA officer Fred Flights issued an editorial in the New York Post last week, which outlined our basic claims today, that someone on Schiff's committee had advanced knowledge. And guess what? To the extent that the committee had advanced knowledge, that information ought to be shared equally with Democrats and Republicans, and it was not.
It will and has not been at this point, as far as our understanding goes. But, Harry, we've got a lot of questions coming in, but folks, I want you to understand what's going on here. This is a star chamber. This is a kangaroo court. This is ridiculous. We're not going to be able to confront the witness that's accusing the president they're going to abuse as a basis for an impeachment proceeding. They're not letting the Republicans question this witness today on the Ambassador Volker. None of that can take. And you think, does anybody think that's fair? Now, honestly, I ought to say that a lot of the media did call into question what Adam Schiff did here. So I have to say they gave an appropriate response. But let's go to a phone call here, 800-684-3110. Again, if you're on Facebook or Periscope, or if you're listening by radio, call your friends. Share it with your friends on any of the social media feeds you're on. Very important we keep this conversation at the forefront because we're, again, breaking information. You're not getting a lot of this elsewhere. But let's go ahead and take Anthony's call from Georgia. Anthony, you're on the air.
Hello, yes. Just two questions, I'm going to hang up.
Okay.
How can the Democrats not allow the Republicans to question a witness? And number two, why didn't Kevin Nunes stop Adam Schiff when he started reading those lies right in his tracks?
Oh, I think it was great that he let him do it. I actually think that was, let me answer the second one first. I think it was great. And what's even better than that was George Stephanopoulos calling out Nancy Pelosi. I played this in the first segment. The reason I replay him is this is evidence. I want you to have the evidence as to what's going on here. Take a listen.
I know you support Chairman Schiff, but was it right for him to have that dramatic interpretation of the president's transcript of the phone call at the hearing last week?
I want the American people to know what that phone call was about. I want them to hear it. So, yeah, it's fair. It's sad. But it's using the president's own words. So if he's...
Well, those weren't the president's words. It was an interpretation of the president's words.
The president's words.
He made this up.
Yeah, he made it up. It wasn't the president's word. He didn't say, what was the word? There was a couple of them. And I'm going to actually play for you what Adam Schiff said, word by word. We'll do that a little bit. I want to go. There's a number of the words that he actually used that not only were not in the transcript, you couldn't even find those. But don't call me back until you have this taken care of, which was exactly not how the call ended up. But this is precisely what they're trying to do. But he also asked a good question, Than, that is, what about the minority party here not being able to even ask a question at this proceeding today, this interview today?
Jay, I've never heard of such a thing. I've been in this town working in this industry for 20 years now. 6 of those years worked in committee rooms just like this. The majority and the minority, either members or staff, depending on who is doing the questioning, always have representation at these kind of depositions or inquiries or testimony givings. Jay, yes, of course, there's a ratio depending on who's in the majority and the minority. But I will sit here and tell you, I haven't gone back through the hundreds of years of research, but I literally have never heard of this, Jay. I mean, it's certainly not a pursuit of the truth. If you want a pursuit of the truth, members on both sides should be asking questions so that all the members, all the information comes forward. I literally have never heard of this kind of arrangement, Jay.
So let me tell you, let's recap what we've got here. On 8-18, 8-10, it sounds like, right in that ballpark, Adam Schiff's staff, or Adam Schiff himself, speaks with the whistleblower, contacts with the whistleblower. The report is not filed until 8/12. It is not public, of course, until after September 17th. Adam Schiff on August 28th lays out, and Harry Hutchinson just talked about this, information that was contained in the whistleblower's report that he said he had no knowledge of. When does he say he has no knowledge of it? He has no knowledge of it on September 17th on MSNBC during an interview where he says, we'd like to talk to the whistleblower. We have not. You call that whatever you want. I call it a lie, call it a false statement, call it whatever you want. But here's the irony. This is the individual that is in charge of the Intelligence Committee, which evidently Nancy Pelosi is now tasked with an impeachment proceeding, or inquiry, as they call it. And Harry, that's the ridiculous nature of what is going on here.
Absolutely. So essentially, the Democrats have reached a conclusion before the evidence has actually been admitted. They have a particular narrative, and it looks like the Democrats participated in the creation of the narrative by talking with the whistleblower before he issued his complaint. They may have helped craft the complaint. Fred Flights, the former CIA officer, notes how carefully drafted the whistleblower complaint was.
Well, clearly by lawyers. I mean, I get that. Yep.
And it also suggests, among other things, that the whistleblower may have had direct legal assistance from Adam Schiff's committee. So all of this raises an inference that Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi have reached a predetermined conclusion, and now they are caught lying about it, and they are attempting to cover their backside with more misinformation. But I don't think it will wash. Even the mainstream media has pointed out Adam Schiff's inconsistencies and his fibs, and I think the American people will see through this.
I want to go ahead and take a phone call here. Tom's calling from Utah. This is we only got 40 seconds left, so I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do is tell you to do this. Right now, if you're listening, tell your friends to listen. If you're watching on whatever platform you're watching on, encourage you to share it right now with everybody that's on your feeds so we can get this conversation continue to go. I've got additional information I'm going to give during the break. So those of you that are on Facebook and Periscope, stay on, or Twitter, or ACLJ.org, stay on there. I've got some more information I'm going to give you in a moment. Don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ. We've got a trial starting today involving Planned Parenthood, literally starting today in California. We're going to be back with your calls and comments at 800-684-3110. Defending the truth. More in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
All right, we're going right to the phones because we got calls coming in. We're dealing with this issue front and center. 800-684-3110. Tom is calling from Utah.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm hoping you can educate me today on things that I think, but I don't know if I'm thinking about right. Is there a particular reason? I've been hearing in the news the last couple of days that Trump's lawyer is saying that he's thinking about taking legal action against Schiff, basically for slander and such. Is there a reason?
Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
So let me tell you this. First of all, I am one of the president's lawyers, so I would know if there's lawsuits about to go forward. Let me tell you this about lawsuits. All options are on the table. We're reviewing everything. I'm sure the White House counsel, they're reviewing everything too. There's violations of due process here. There's statements, there's change of procedures here. So all of this is being looked at. So I will say this, no option, legally speaking, is off the table. All options are on the table. Whether we will exercise those options is another story. But all options, clear, understand this without equivocation, all options are on the table. Mary's calling from Maryland. Mary, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, and God bless you and all you're doing. I heard on a talk show host this morning the suggestion that Adam Schiff's security clearance be removed, which would, of course, take away all his authority. And President Trump has the legal ability to do that.
I think, Mary, here's the thing with those kinds. Well, go ahead and finish your sentence. Let me just jump in. Because, look, I think there's much more significant issues to uncover here. For instance, when did Adam Schiff actually know about this? What kind of correspondence exists between Adam Schiff's office and the whistleblower's lawyers? What information went to other individuals? So maybe what needs to happen here, you know, as there's an investigation of the investigators, this needs to be reviewed too. Now, I don't know if that comes within Durham's jurisdiction right now or not. I have no idea on that. But then to say this is unusual and out of the ordinary is a bit of an understatement.
Oh, I think unprecedented and dangerous are two of the words I would use, Jay. And look, this is one of the reasons I agree with you that it was good for Ranking Member Nunes not to contest chairmanship when he was issuing that parody, is I think he's being trapped by his own words and actions right now. And look, there might be a certain amount of diplomatic immunity that Adam Schiff gets, but the more of those words and those false words, those wrong leading actions are out there, Jay, the more information the American voter has to ultimately be judge and jury here. Look, I mean, I know you're handling a lot of the legal side of this, but ultimately, legal options aside, Jay, the American voter has great power here. They can look and see who's standing on truth, who's making things up, and then ultimately decide if they want those people representing them. It's one of the beautiful things about the American way, Jay. The more those actions are out there, the more information the American people have to work on.
Well, I think that's right. So I'm going to take it another step here. I think this is important. So this is what the New York Times reports. House staff members following the committee's procedures suggested the officer, this is the CIA officer, find a lawyer to advise him and meet with an inspector general with whom he could file a whistleblower complaint. I just want to play what Adam Schiff said. I don't want the whole statement. I don't want the questions about, did you or your staff have contact with the whistleblower?
We have not spoken directly with the whistleblower. We would like to.
False. Totally false. And this is the individual, Harry, charged with overseeing this inquiry.
Absolutely. So this follows a pattern and practice both for Adam Schiff and for Democrats and for members of the Trump resistance. So it's important to keep in mind what James Comey did. It's important to keep in mind what Andrew McCabe did and Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. They were engaged in nefarious activities designed to impair this particular president. Adam Schiff is taking a page out of the same handbook with his duplicity and with his inability to tell the truth. The problem for Adam Schiff, of course, is he keeps on talking And we have video and audio evidence of his lies. But, of course, all Adam Schiff can do at the end of the day is express regret for perhaps misleading the American people.
Regret, except you're chairman of the Intelligence Committee and you're about to, you know, you're saying that you think you've got grounds possibly for impeachment here. So, I look at this then and I look at the press conference that Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi had yesterday, which ended up being nothing. I mean, they were asking for networks and nothing. That tells me that the grounds on this are moving. And their plan, because they're making so many missteps, and I think you could trace it back to when he read that redrafted or dramatic presentation of a script he came with up on his own, not based on the actual transcript. Why didn't you just read the transcript? But he did.
Well, I think...
Go ahead. Yeah.
I think his plan there, Jay, was he didn't think the transcript was going to be out, but the president declassified that. So I think he thought he was going to have wide latitude to read whatever he wanted. But look, you're right to talk about Speaker Pelosi, too. She announced this inquiry before she ever saw it. She admitted that to the press. She said, I have not seen it. And then, Jay, yesterday, those comments that she made, that those were the president's own words. I mean, is she literally steering a conference and an impeachment inquiry where she does not know what's going on? I mean, that was just as factually false as Chairman Schiff's comments about not having spoken with a whistleblower. I'm not sure she's paying that close of attention, Jay.
I think you're right. Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Oregon. Mike?
Hi, I just have a quick question. Yep. It might have been answered already, but... Since Adam Schiff has been caught in all these lies, is he going to be held accountable and how?
How's he going to be held accountable? So it's just an interesting question. He's the chairman of the committee. Now, what we're going to do is potentially look at legal issues, legal ramifications, violations of due process, a whole host of other constitutional issues. I have said publicly, I will say it again, that no options off the table. All options are on the table. We are going to determine the best course of action. We believe that our clients' rights of due process are being denied by this farce that's going on right now. I think there may be significant legal issues that we're going to raise. I will just say that more to come. Stay tuned, as they say. I think they want a tangle. There's going to be a tangle. They want to go to war over this. I still view it as a skirmish. I went through the war. This is the skirmish. And this general, General Schiff, is making the same mistakes as the last general, General Mueller. They obviously don't know what their teams are doing. Or maybe in this case, they actually do. And that's going to be the real question here. All right, here's what we're going to do. In a minute, we take a break. I want to encourage you, we're here for another 30 minutes, ACLJ.org, Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, other social media platforms. Of course, a lot of your stations carry the full hour of the broadcast. If you're on any of the social media platforms, as we get ready to take a break right now, I'm going to talk to you during the break. Go ahead and share this with your friends. Very important people stay engaged in the conversation. We want to do that. So do that. But I want to let you know here that we're going to uncover this. We gave you the timeline, and it is not a pretty one for Adam Schiff. He's got a lot of explaining to do. And I suspect with some of the actions we might take, he's going to have a lot more explaining to do. They want to go to battle. Okay. Even in skirmishes, you can have battles. We're going to talk more about this when we come back. We'll take your calls as well at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. Why? We are in court today in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California. Who's on the other side? Planned Parenthood. 6-week trial. Day one starts today. Our team making opening statements. We'll have a lot more about that in the days, and in this case, in weeks ahead. Back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Again, Facebook, Periscope, Twitter. Share it with your friends right now. Let me tell you what we've got. I'm going to give you the timeline of what's at stake here. And this is focusing on Adam Schiff's lies, misstatements, lies. I haven't, by the way, these guys, they like to play hardball. Let's see how much hardball they can take. New York Times reports that days before the CIA officer filed a whistleblower complaint, the Democratic head of the House Intelligence Committee, Representative Adam Schiff of California, learned about the CIA's, the outlines of the CIA officer's concern. The complaint was actually filed on August 12th of 2019. That wasn't made public until September 25th. But on August either 8th, 9th, 10th, sometime right before the whistleblower filed the complaint, Adam Schiff's team is notified. He specifically denies being notified or having conversations with this individual or his staff. Let me play this for you again. His words, not mine. Here they are.
We have not spoken directly with the whistleblower. We would like to.
Yeah, except you did. You did speak directly to the whistleblower. So you must have liked to because you did. Then on September 17th, a tweet goes out on August 28th. In this tweet, you talk about Ukraine funding and say Trump is withholding military aid to Ukraine while his personal lawyer seeks help from the Ukraine government to investigate his political opponent. It doesn't take a stable genius to see the magnitude of this conflict or how destructive it is to our national security. But it doesn't take much of a stable genius to also figure out, obviously, you knew what was in the whistleblower complaint, which you already denied that you had talked to the whistleblower, your team had spoken to the whistleblower. You denied that, but then you put that tweet out. I'm just playing the evidence. Then, of course, September 17th, we've not spoken directly to the person. Then you read the statement, and what was the date of the hearing? Well, this is important. The transcript is released on September 25th. What is the date that the hearing takes place? And this is important for people to understand. When the actual hearing takes place, when Adam Schiff does that parody.
Same day the complaint is released, that's September 26th.
Okay, so he already had the complaint because it was released to them earlier in the day. He has the complaint. When is the transcript of the call released? The day before. What does Adam Schiff do on the day of the hearing, though? Take a listen.
This is the essence of what the president communicates. We've been very good to your country, very good. No other country has done as much as we have. But you know what? I don't see much reciprocity here. I hear what you want. I have a favor I want from you, though. And I'm going to say this only 7 times, so you better listen good. I want you to make up dirt on my political opponent, understand lots of it. On this and on that, I'm going to put you in touch with people, not just any people. I'm going to put you in touch with Attorney General of the United States, my Attorney General, Bill Barr. He's got the whole weight of the American law enforcement behind him. And I'm going to put you in touch with Rudy. You're going to love him. Trust me. You know what I'm asking, and so I'm only going to say this a few more times, in a few more ways. And by the way, don't call me again. I'll call you when you've done what I asked. This is, in sum and character, what the president was trying to communicate with the president of Ukraine. It would be funny if it wasn't such a graphic betrayal of the president's oath of office.
All right, so here's the thing you have to understand. He says, make up dirt on my opponent, so-called Joe Biden. Make up dirt, lots of it. Is that in there? No, it's not. Don't call me until this is done. Not in there. What does this tell you this is? A fraud on the American people. But guess what? The president has legal counsel. The American people have legal counsel. And we are looking at every option to put an end to this charade. We're going to have your calls and comments. We come back, 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The truth will set you free. They should be telling it. But we just found out that Congress just had the committee just had an interview. And apparently, as we expected, the Republicans were not able to ask questions. We're going to have more on that when we come back from the break. Again, support the work of the ACLJ. We are in court today, literally today, in court in California, standing up against big abortion, Planned Parenthood. We've got an email out on that right now. We'll talk to you in a moment. 1-800-684-3110.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back. So they had Ambassador Volker went and spoke with the Intelligence Committee. Republicans not allowed to ask questions, but it's interesting to see what Representative Jim Jordan had to say about it. So this is, it's brief, it's quick. This is what he said.
Ambassador Volker has been very impressive, and as I said, has said nothing that coincides with what the Democrats are saying with their whole impeachment narrative.
So what does that mean, Harry? And I'm going to ask that the same thing to Than. I mean, that tells me that they're pulling witnesses and they don't even know what these witnesses are going to say.
Absolutely.
No
so
clue.
For one of the first rules of being a lawyer is to have some idea as to what the witness will say before you call the person in. So they've called the ambassador in from the Ukraine. And guess what? He essentially contradicts the entire impeachment narrative that Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi have created out of whole cloth. And so what we have is that the Democrats' fictional narrative is collapsing under the weight of their own duplicity.
Yeah, I think Harry brings up a really good point, but I wonder if by doing this and continuing to do this, that they are really undercutting their own narrative here, whether intentionally or not. I'm wondering, are they looking for an escape hatch, the Democrats here? Because this is, I've thought about that. In the last 48 hours, things have radically changed.
Well, they're certainly undercutting it, whether they intended to or not, Jay. I mean, it's falling in on itself. I mean, if you bring a witness before three committees, the House Intel, House Foreign Affairs, and the House Oversight Committee, and only allow one side to do the questioning, I'm trying to actually get confirmation from the Hill right now exactly how that went, if there was pushback. But if that's the setup, Jay,
yeah,
and you still can't get anything out of it, you still can't get any evidence, then clearly your narrative has been undermined. The question will be, are they already wed to it? I suspect they might be, but the narrative, Jay, I would say it's already collapsed.
All right. We're going to the phones, 800-684-3110. Michael's calling. He's on line one. Michael, go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. You guys are doing an excellent job.
Thanks.
I watch and share your program every day.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. My question is, if these proceedings get underway, will the Supreme Court step in because of the unconstitutionality of this proceedings?
So that the question for the Supreme Court to engage the issue, we'd have to commence litigation for them to engage the issue. Now, I'm not making any bones about that. This is not any secret information here. We're looking at every option. Every option's on the table here. If they can, for instance, if they're going to have as an article impeachment this conversation based on this whistleblower, are they going to allow us to interview the whistleblower, except the whistleblower is protected, so we're not going to be able to interview the whistleblower and the president can't confront the witness? We're not actually, but that would be interesting, except that under the current rules that they have set up, I don't even get to, or my colleagues, we don't get to ask questions. I think they had something in there we could submit some written inquiries, but we don't get to cross-examine witnesses. So there's fundamental violations of due process, but it's political process. Can you imagine this being tried in the United States Senate based on the way they're conducting themselves right now? The managers of an impeachment proceeding would have to walk over to the Senate and present the case. I mean, can you imagine that for a moment? I'd like to be able to ask some of those questions. I suspect I would be able to. I can think of a couple other lawyers on my team I'd like to have ask some of those questions. Mark Mukasey, others. Can you imagine with what they have or what they're put forward so far? I know we're not going to be able to ask Bob Mueller any questions because he's done, but wouldn't you like that moment? But this tells you what this is. And let's be specific and let's be crystal clear. This is nonsense. Our band did Heard It Through the Grapevine, how appropriate. We also did the Three Dog Night tune Liar. Pretty appropriate too. Maybe we could have a special concert just on those songs. But I'll tell you that. I'm going to tell you this right now. We are looking at every option is on the table. We've got really smart lawyers working really hard to defend the Constitution of the United States because, as Professor Hutchison said, they are weaponizing the execution of the Constitution. And, Harry, I think it's important for you to explain that to the people because that is, to our audience here, very, very important. We mentioned that the other day. I want to mention it again.
It's important to note that President Trump's phone call with the president of the Ukraine, President Zelensky, was well within the president's Article 2 powers. It was also consistent with our treaty obligations with the country of Ukraine. And so Alan Dershowitz has suggested that in order to impeach the president, you must find evidence of high crimes and misdemeanors. With respect to the Ukrainian phone call, President Trump was acting clearly within his Article 2 power and authority, and Dershowitz argues that you cannot impeach, and in fact, there's a constitutional case suggesting that the impeachment proceedings should indeed be blocked by the Supreme Court. So I can't speak for the president's lawyers on that particular issue, but I think it is clear beyond question that there is no constitutional basis for impeaching the president for exercising and executing his constitutional authority. This makes no sense. It would sunder and destroy the republic.
I can speak for the president's counsel as one. And let me tell you this. If it got to the Senate, which I do not believe it does, but if it does, it's called a motion to dismiss made on the floor of the United States Senate. That's how you respond. But this is political theater. Understand exactly what's going on here. Than, you brought up a point about the nature of the committees involved here.
Three committees involved today in the questioning of Ambassador Volker, the House Intel, House Foreign Affairs, and House Oversight. Jay, my point on that was simply, if you can bring together that many members of Congress and only allow one side to do the questioning and you still come away with no evidence, I think it's a pretty telling of how weak the case is. I think there's one other thing worth pointing out here, and I think I know the why to Chairman Schiff's lie. I really do, and I think people should listen to this. Rule 14 of that committee, Jay, very simply, it reads that all members of the committee shall at all times have access to all classified papers and other material received by the committee from any source. So, Jay, if the chairman admitted that he had access to that information from any source at that time, he would have had to share it with who? The very members he's not allowing to ask questions today. He would have had to do that immediately.
Could you imagine if the Republicans did this, what the reaction would be? By the way, the Republicans, under the new House rules, they can't subpoena witnesses. Could you imagine what the reaction would be in the media if that was the case? If it was the Republicans doing this? But it's not. That's just not the way it goes. All right, let's go to Dave, who's calling in California. Dave, welcome to the broadcast. You're on there.
Hey, what up, Jay? How you doing?
Good.
Hey, just a quick comment. So I had I've lived in China for 10 years. I owned companies in China. I know China well. I mean, I've been blackmailed. I've been extorted. I've been in Chinese jail. I've actually been deported from China. So I know China very well. I will say that there's no chance that anyone can get a business license in 10 days in China for what the Bidens have done. I mean, something like that usually takes a year. So now my question is,
yeah, unless the vice president was helping you out, but go ahead. I'm not, but I don't know. Yeah, I have no knowledge of that, but go ahead.
There's no, yeah. My question is that if there's an investigation from an international level, if an international crime is
violated.
Well,
there's an international investigation in this sense. There's an investigation of the investigators. That is what happened to that started this whole Crossfire hurricane. That's the Durham investigation. And as we pointed out the other day, we have a treaty. It's called the treaty between the United States of America and Ukraine on mutual legal assistance in criminal matters. We have one between Australia. These are the countries that have come up so far. A treaty between the government of the United States of America and the government of Australia on mutual assistance in criminal matters. I don't know what we have or do not have with the Chinese government. But look, this is being investigated. This is happening because, listen, these folks know what's coming up. They know that there's a real investigation going on right now. And the truth is coming out. So, of course, they're reacting. I'm going to tell you this. You're going to see a lot of, quote, whistleblowers in the days ahead, I suspect, because they know what's going on here. This is a setup. This is a setup at the highest level. This is a setup, a put-up, if you will. And the end result of this is going to be an embarrassment for those that are trying to do this. And I'm already seeing the shifting sands. You notice they didn't notice up my colleague Rudy Giuliani for oral testimony, because you wouldn't put on a witness that knew more about Ukraine and what was going on there than you do. Of course, you did get access to the secured information and the information provided by the whistleblower before, and you said you didn't. So maybe, you know, I'm just putting these out there. So all options on the table. That is the takeaway from this segment. We're going to look at every option, every available option. That doesn't mean we'll execute them, but we're looking at them. Nothing off the table when it comes to representing your client. This client happens to be the President of the United States. For the American Center for Law and Justice, this is a big deal. Why is it a big deal? The Constitution of the United States is at jeopardy. It is the weaponizing of the Constitution. Make no mistake about it. That's what this is. And we have to be prepared to respond appropriately, respond aggressively. We're going to take your calls and comments. When we come back from the break, we have one line open. 1-800-684-3110, but doesn't look like it's open very long, but you can keep trying. 800-684-3110. Get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope as well, Twitter as well. We'll be monitoring those. We'll get some of those up. Coming up, a little shortened version of our tune that we did, Heard It Through the Grapevine. We'll play something at the end of the broadcast. We'll decide which one, but this is for our little break coming up. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ in court today against Planned Parenthood. U.S. District Court, Northern District of California in San Francisco, taking on big abortion. Back with more in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Ooh, I heard it through the grapevine. Not much longer would you be mine.
And by the way, if you like the music of the band, there's an easy way to get to it. We have a Facebook page just for the band, J Seculo Band, and you just go there, like it, and you get that video up. By the way, that video is up. I think we're going to play Liar after this broadcast today, the Three Dog Night classic. Interesting flashback Will Haynes just pointed out and our team found, which is why I'm glad that we're able to do this on such quick turnaround, and our team does a great job of this. Remember Evelyn Farkas? She was a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Russia, Ukraine, and Eurasia under President Obama. This was her. This was about a couple weeks before the election. This is what she had to say about issues involving Russia, Ukraine, other areas. Take a listen.
We do have a strong system of checks and balances. And actually, if Donald Trump were elected, I believe he'd be impeached pretty quickly, or somebody else would have to take over government. And I'm not even joking.
Yeah, well, evidently either is Adam Schiff, or maybe he is joking because he's not making truthful statements. So that kind of tells you what it is. But listen, you know what this reminds you of? Does it remind you of Crossfire Hurricane, the insurance policy? Maybe this is the umbrella policy. It didn't work with Russia collusion. It didn't work with obstruction of the Mueller investigation. It didn't work with quid pro quo. It did not work when the transcript came out. So now what is it? Well, this was there all along. That was 2 weeks before the election. The election 3 years ago. That tells you what this is about. All right, we got a lot of calls. We're going to take them. Bruce is calling from the District of Columbia. Bruce, go ahead. You're on the air. Bruce?
Hi, Jay. Thank you very much for taking my call. Here's my question. I know that typically in a U.S. court, if I were charged, tried, and convicted, I would have an opportunity to appeal that conviction.
Right.
Let's, worst case scenario, the House writes articles of impeachment, they pass it, the Senate convicts. What recourse does President Trump have, if any?
Well, no, I mean, you can't overturn, look, I mean, the issues would, first of all, I see no scenario where that happens in the Senate at all. I still don't see it in the House of Representatives. I know Thane and Jordan think differently, and that's, I think you could, reasonable minds can disagree on that. But we're not going to lose this in the United States Senate. I mean, I just do not see it. I do not see this in the realm of reality. I don't think it's a court proceeding that much. Now, leading up to it, there may be some, and that is the due process issues. Like I said, all the options are on the table there. But, I mean, Harry, I think that it's clearly, and I'll let Than quit. We got to do this quickly. We got a lot of people holding. I think this is, when you get to that political moment, people are going to realize what this is. You're not impeaching the President of the United States on that phone call.
You are absolutely correct.
We're not convicting, that's for sure.
So there is no constitutional basis to convict, and there is no political basis to convict. Even though many progressives in the Democratic Party have already reached a conclusion to convict, and many of those individuals were convinced that President Trump ought to be impeached before the election took place and shortly thereafter. So I think the American people, if we give them credit, they will see through this very quickly.
So, Than, how do you see it right now? How do you see it playing politically right now? What's your view of the world?
Well, I can be pretty quick with this. I mean, I don't think the House is looking at the evidence, and I think that will come back to bite them politically, Jay. I really do. I think if they decide to take a political action and impeach the president, I think they're probably going to pay the price at the polls in 2020. Here is what I would say. When it goes over to the Senate, if it goes over to the Senate, Jay, I think they are going to look at the evidence. I think they will have read the transcript, unlike Speaker Pelosi. I think they will use the evidence in front of them rather than making it up. And I agree with you. I think the process in the Senate, should it ever get there, I think it would be very quick, Jay.
Yeah, I do too. I think, maybe motion to dismiss to get it thrown out, or if it goes to a proceeding, I think we cross-examine the witnesses, and that's that. All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Let's go to Bill, Wyoming, line two. Bill, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thanks for your work and the song yesterday. By the way, good work on the drums there.
Thank you. Let me shout out to the band there. We literally had never played that song together before. I mean, we all probably have all played it in our past band life histories. But we went in, we went through it about four times in about 30 minutes. Then we had the cameras turn on. We did about three takes of it, and there you have it. It's up on the band page now, by the way, J Seculo Band. So we'll have it there. And we're going to play the Three Dog Night Classic Liar when we're done. But go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, over the past few years, I've come to the conclusion that I think that these guys, Pelosi and Schiff and all them, believe that the president must ask their specific permission in order to enact anything in his office as president.
Yeah, that's because they have weaponized the Constitution. I mean, they're trying to weaponize the execution of the Constitution. That's what Professor Hutchinson has said. That is the position that is out there. And let's again restate it really quickly, Harry. That is the problem. You exercise your constitutional obligations, and now they call foul.
Absolutely. So essentially, the president has Article 2 authority under the Constitution to talk to the Ukrainian president. In addition, he has authority within the meaning of a mutual assistance treaty with the Ukraine. He exercised his authority, and now the Democrats want to criminalize it. So not only are the Democrats attempting to weaponize the exercise of the presidential authority, they are attempting to demonize the president for doing his job.
All right, Denise is calling on line 5 from New York. Denise, go ahead.
Hey, that's upstate New York. Hi, Jay.
Okay. Well,
what
I'm from Listen, I'm out of Brooklyn, so that's not upstate New York, but I like upstate New York. Go ahead.
First 21 years of my life in Brooklyn.
Okay, well, there you go.
Okay, what is wrong with the Democratic Party? This is not the party I used to vote for. This is not the America I grew up in. I will be voting for Trump again. This is just crazy what is going on.
Well, Van, I asked this to you. I mean, this idea that they're not letting Republicans witness, subpoena witnesses or ask questions, and they're not letting the lawyers ask questions. I mean, Denise Friedman, what is this? I mean, do they think the American people are this naive as to what's going on with this charade? Because that's what it is.
I think large parts of the caucus do, Jay. I mean, look, I don't think Speaker Pelosi wanted to go this way. I think she knew the political peril. But I think the party is being governed by the likes of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez now. I think finally Speaker Pelosi had to give into it. And I think that element of the party, Jay, they are calling the shots now. I think where they've miscalculated, I don't think that's where the American people are, and I think they'll pay a price for it.
All right, Ed's calling from New Jersey. You're on the air.
Yes, hello there.
Hey.
I'm a supporter
great, thank
of Trump
you.
And you guys. Doing great work.
Thanks.
Listen, I just fear that the Democratic Party and their plan going forward is being accomplished, what they want. Even though the lies are being unfolded and being revealed for what they are, like the old adage that a lie said enough times is going to be taken as the truth. And all I see out in the media and in talk show hosts and all that garbage is the parody of the transcript. And never the transcript.
Well, you're 100% correct, Ed. So what they're doing is they use that parody of the transcript, that which he made up, and they use it to do what? They use it to build a repetition, and you all of a sudden think that's actually the conversation. That's exactly why they did it. We have to defeat that. That's why I'm glad we're able to come to you each and every day on this broadcast. We can defeat this, but it is going to take really good legal work. The Constitution hangs in the balance. So both in my hat as the chief counsel of the ACLJ, American Center for Law and Justice, and as the president's lawyer, the Constitution's at stake no matter which hat I wear on this one. No question about it. And we're going to stand up for the Constitution of the United States. We're doing that, by the way, in U.S. District Court in the Northern District of California today. We have an email out on that. We are in federal court against Planned Parenthood. How long will we be in federal court? Could be 6 weeks taking on the abortion giant. So there's a lot to do. We encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Jordan's book, Next Red Wave, available in bookstores everywhere. We encourage you to get that as well. And coming up, we've got a special song, another one. Pulled it out of the archives for you. You're not going to want to miss it. Again, support the work of the ACLJ. You do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. A lot more news tomorrow. Song coming up. Share it with your friends right now. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms.